Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Ches Maseches Kedushin. Every year on this day, it's a very special day in the world of Daf Yomi. Today is Rav Meir Shapiro's yard site, and the founder of the daf. So every day we should make the daf on his yard site. L'zecher Nishmaso, and it's we have a lot of Akar Satov for to the Lina Rav for making all of this possible. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to learn on many more of his yard sites. Mashiach should come, we should be able to learn with it. And the Saint Talmud started today in Eretz Yisrael, and first time I said it so early. Yes. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amabez in Maseches Kedushin. So he started to discuss the sugya of Gilgul Shvua. If I'm chayev Shvua A, so then even though B would usually not make me swear, whether it's Karka or Avadim or something else, that is not enough for a Shvua, but Gilgul Shua means if I'm Chayv Shua A, then I will go over to be Chayv Shua B. What was the source? The source of that was the Isha Sota. The Isha Sota says Amen, Amen, Amen for this case, and Amen for many other cases that I was involved. Any other cases that I was involved in my life. So says the Gemara, second to last line. Ashkachan Sota de Isura. I understand that Sota has Gilgul Shua because that's a case of Isser. Mamona Minalan. How do you know to bring this over to Mamonis? Whenever we have a line like this, we mention the Vilna Gaon, the Gra from Parsha Shoftim, where the Gra says that all of Torah is split up into three categories, or six categories, three that are six. Tuma, Tabe V'Tahar, Aser Umutur, and Chayev and Zakai. So there's Dini Chayev and Zakai is Dini Mamonis, Issa V'Heter is this of a heter? And then Tumentara is Tumentara. So there's three categories, right? Be'dam l'dim, be'din l'dim, be'nekel v'nega. Three categories of Torah. So who says you can learn one to the other? So fine, you have it by Isser, but who says you can bring that over to Mamonis? Ask the Pnei Yeshua 1 minute. Sota is just Isser? The Gemara describes in Misach HaShvuas, Sota, Isur is called Isser Sheyesh Bo Mamon. Isser Sheyesh Bo Mamon. So it has money too, right? The Sota is Isser, but also she loses her ksuba. She loses her ksuba. So why isn't that? That's not enough mamonis aspect for to be called mamonis. So says the Pnei Yeshua. No, the Gemara is saying that maybe it's because of the Isser element. The Gemara doesn't know. The Gemara is asking is maybe the Isser element is what causes the Gilgul Shua and not the mamon element. But you're right. It could be a Isser Sheishma Mamon. But who says that we can still learn from it? Number one. So let's continue. So, fine, I know Gilgul Shua by Sota. What about by Isser? Minalan. So, Tana, the very Rabbi Yishmael, Kalvachomer. Tana, the very Rabbi Yishmael says, it is a Kalvachomer. Uma Sota. Shelo nitna lihi tava be'ed echad migalgalin. If an Isha Sota, that the whole case cannot get off the ground with an eid echad. Meaning, as Rashi explains, that the yichud of a sota has to be witnessed by two eidim. Right? So, shnei eidim v'rosharush and istra. It's machlokas about the first mishnah in sota. How many do you need for the kinui, for the warning, and for the stira, which we discussed? But the Gemara here is assuming that for the yichud you need two. So, if sota, which needs two at the beginning, megalgalin, so mamon shalom nitan lihitav eid echad. But mamonis, which can be get off the ground with just one aid. Why? And therefore you see it's a more flexible mechayiv. Why? Because aid echad we know is kam l'shvua. In dini mamonis, you have two aidim to make a person pay. Two aidim make a person do anything. But one aid is good enough to be... Let me close your sodi on Torah. But one aid is enough to be mechayev mamonis. So in adin shemagalgalin. So it's a kalvachomer. If by sota, which is not nit, which cannot get off the ground with one aid, you're megalgal. So mamonis, which can get off the ground with one aid, in adin shemagalgalin. Surely you should be megalgal and say the principle of Gilgul Shvua, because it's easier indeed in mamonis for things to get off the ground. Says the Gemara. Says the after Ritva 1 minute. We wanted to say we can't learn from sota. You can't learn from Sota because that's Isser. We're trying to learn the Mamonis. So what do you learn from? What was the Kal Vachomer from? Sota. So how can the Gemara say, Ashkechad Sota Isura, Mamoni Minalan? So where is it? No, it's a Kal Vachomer. And you'll have a Kal Vachomer from Sota. Mm-hmm. So it says the Ritva, important principle, that's a Yesod in all Limudim. The only time you could say, Zemi Ze Lo Yalfinan is a by a Mamatzinu. By a Mamatzinu, where it's just a comparison. There's no specific svara for it. But by a kalvachomer, You could even go from one area of halacha to the other area of halacha. To be so to like a living barba mama sinu, to be monami isur lo yalfinan, umajinan da asi mikava chomer, pirish, viafaka de mama sinu lo yalfinan, yalfinan mine kava chomer. So that's an important yesod, in terms of different types of limutim. A mama sinu versus a kava chomer. So that's how you know it, outside of sota. The Gemara here brought up Shvuas Eid Echad, meaning in Dini Maminis, if two Eidim are brought to court, then they make you pay. If the person only has one Eid, Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, you owe me $100, and I have one Eid, and Shimon says, I don't, and there is one Eid involved, so he doesn't have to pay, but he's Mechuyev Shvua. Right, this is one of the three Shvuos Daraisa. What is Rishvus Daraisa? The Rambam says this in two places. I read it for you in Hilchos Toiv V'Nitan. The Rambam says in Halacha Beis, Ein Locha Mechuyev Shvua Min HaTorah. There are only three people who are obligated to take a Shvua Min HaTorah. A Shvua could be anything. I swear I'm going to eat a cookie today. Right, that's a Shvua Daraisa, but that's not an obligatory Shvua. Once I swear, I'm obligated to do what I swore. But the Rambam says, Ein Locha Mechuyev Shvua Min HaTorah Chutz Mishlosha. There are three types of Shvua Daraisas that are obligatory. Number one, Mishahodeh B'Miksas HaMatalin, Modeh B'Miksas. Right, it's the world above Metziah. Number two, Amisha Chivo Eid Echad, or if one Eid is Mechayev him. The case that I gave, I might have said it incorrectly, I don't remember which one I said, right, it's the Eid is Mechayev. Let's say if one Eid, if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100, and he brings an Eid to back him up, if he had brought two Eid, then Shimon has to pay. If he only brings one Eid, so Shimon has to swear. Nishba v'niftar. He has to swear. And number three, what's the third Shavuos HaTorah? Shomrim. Shavuos HaShomrim. If the Shomer Chinam swears that he wasn't Poshea, the Shomer Sachar swears that he wasn't stolen, and the Shoal swears that it wasn't Mesa Machos, right, all the cases of Mesa Machos Balacha. So those are the three Shvuos Daraisa, and the Kolach and Mishlashtan, Nishba v'niftar milashalim. What's the common denominator by all three? It's Nishba v'niftar. The person who swears is going to be pater. He's swearing to pater himself. I swear so I don't have to pay the other half. I swear that I don't have to pay. If it's Shvuos Eid Echad, and I swear, and I'm pater by a Shomer. All Shvuos Darabanan are Nishba v'notel. I will call on Nishba v'notelin kagon. There are 10 different, the parak Shvuos, in the Shvuos, the list of 10 different Shvuos Darabanan. Those are all Nishba v'notel. I swear and I take. Except for Shvuos Hesis, which is a different type of Shvua, which we'll talk about hopefully later in Maseches Kiddushin. Okay, so those are, so the Rambam, so the Gemara lists off here and mentions the Shvuos Eid Echad, that we said a kavachomer from Sota to Shvuos Eid Echad. There is a question in Lumdus, how do you look at the Shvua that an Eid Echad is Mechayev? Is an Eid Echad really, is that closer to two Eidim or is that closer to zero? It's kind of a base way to say it. Is he half a kat? Is one Eid half a kat? Or is one Eid really nothing? It's very soft. It's a totally different type of Mechayev. The Torah says, you know, sometimes the Gemara says in other contexts, Lahaf is daito shabal abayis. He has an Eid, so make him feel good. Take a Shvua to appease him. But lav dafka, that it's really Mechuyev. We have the principle, after all, called Mitoch she'inu yachol yishava mishalim. Sometimes if a person can't swear, you can't swear, let's say he's a chashud. We're not going to let him swear because we think that he's going to lie. So we'll make him pay. So how much does that principle apply to the Shavuos Eid Echad? How much is there a dini mamonis, you know, lurking in the background of the Shavuos Eid Echad? That's a big discussion in Eid Echad. It's mentioned here, but I'll mention one makar related to it, and that's a Rambam. Right? Why is it that we trust two Eidim and not one Eid? One Eid is Kam L'Shavua, so do we trust the Eid Echad? So we trust him to make the guy swear. That's a pretty serious item. But really, two Eidim is it Svara that we trust two Eidim over one? Because one might swear, one might lie. Two is very hard to lie. We're gonna check them, make sure they're telling the same truth. So this is a line of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Uchaz Yisodei HaTorah, where he's talking about listening to a Navi. So it says the Rambam, Shebekachlitz Tavinu. Right, sometimes there might be a Navi who's a Navi Sheker. And if you do all the right things, so aren't we being led astray? But there's a mitzvah to listen to the Navi if he does all the right signs. So Rambam says, don't worry about it. Shebekachnitz Tavinu, this is how we're commanded. Kemoshen it's Tavinu lachtoch adin al pi shnei edim ksheirim. V'af al pi she'efshar she'he'idu b'sheker. Could very well be that the two edim are also lying. But this is how the world has to function. You're commanded to listen to the two edim. Ho v'ksheirim heim etzleinu ma'amidin osam al kashrusam. So basically the Rambam says it's exeris akasif. Why you have two edim. Right, and not one Eid. And not the one Eid isn't good enough. So is there anything inherently different according to that formulation of the Rambam? No. It's just that, you know, one Eid could also be telling the truth. Two Eid might also be lying. Either way, so that blurs the line somewhat between two witnesses and one witness. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. So Gemara said, again, how do you know Gilgal Shua? You learn it from Isha Sota. Isha Sota is in the context of Isser, and we're trying to learn Mamanis. So we say, no, you can learn from Mamanis, you can learn it from Isha Sota with a Kal V'chomer. So Ashkechon Bevadai. So fine, I only know Vadai. Okay, so Vadai. That were Magagal Ishvua, if it is a clear claim, Suffik Minalon. How do I know that even in Taina Suffik, I can be Magagal Ishvua? So I'm not sure. Taina Suffik Minalon. Rashi says, Taina Shema, Kagon, Shvua Sashutvin, Varisin. Let's say you have two partners. You have two partners who split the property. So the Mishnah says in Shavuos, if one of the partners did it without the other one's knowing, so the one who didn't know can make the other one swear that he, can swear himself that he split it up correctly, and therefore he could take, you know, the portion that is his. Shavuos HaShutfin. Partners swearing to make sure things are equal. Or Shavuos Arisin. The Aris could, the sharecropper could swear that he didn't get paid from the owner, and he could, and in Nishba Venotel. Right? The owner says he paid him, the Aris says he didn't get paid. Nishba Venotel, all these cases are if he knew for sure. What if he didn't know for sure? A Shutev didn't know if it was split up properly. So they can be Megalgal Shvua on the other Shutev. So that's the case of Safik. He doesn't know for sure whether he's owed money or not. So how do you know there's a concept of Gilgal Shvua even in a case of Safik? Minalan, how do you know? So 1 second, Tosfos says, what's the whole source of Gilgal Shvua? Sota. That's also Safik. If the husband knows for sure that she was Bazana, he's not Mashka her. The only time that she drinks the Mesota is if she, we're not sure. And it's Mevarer. Stosva says, what do you mean? The whole Mukkar is Safik. Stosva says in the second half of Tosva, Safik, there's still a difference. V'yishlomit lo dummy. Tahasam kol shvua shala Safik. V'lakach baragun alay Safik. By Sota, you're right. Everything is a Safik. From beginning to end, you don't know if anything happened. Here, what are we trying to ask? If the original shvua is a Vadai, and the add-on is a Safik, is that going to work? That's the question, whether that can work. The Shita L'Nodel Midrash has another formulation. He says maybe Sota is not called a plain Suffolk. We discussed this a little bit in Sota. The beginning of the Mesechta said Sharaglayim Ladavar. Once a woman is warned against being in seclusion with a man, and then she's Misyachi with that same man, and there are Edim, so that's not just a Suffolk. That's a leaning towards, you know, Raglayim Ladavar, that something might have occurred. That's Karov Levadai. So if it's not a regular case of Suffolk, it's closer to Vatai. So, as the Gemara said, how do you know the case of Suffolk? So, Tanya, Rabbi Yochai Omer, Nemr Shvua Bachutz, V'Nemr Shvua Bifnim. So, we know, you're right, Sadaka V'Chomer, we're going to have a Gzeir Shava. Ma Shvua Hamura Bifnim, Masa Basavik Vadai. Just like Shvua Bifnim, meaning the Isha Sota takes a Shvua inside the Beis HaMikdash, just like she takes the Shvua, there we can treat Suffolk Kavadai. Av Shvua Hamura Bachutz, Azaba Suffolk Kavadai. So, to everywhere we treat Suffolk Kavadai, and there is no difference, and you could even say Gilgal Shvua by Isser, and you could even say Gilgal Shvua by a case of Suffolk. The Evan Azal, Ravissa Zalman, even though the Gemara ends up with Maskana saying it applies by Savada, it applies by Safek, to answer up a Rambam, he explains, you can look it up, in She'ela V'Pikadon, Paragimel Halacha Dalid, he suggests that really there are two types of Gilgal Shvua. Two types of Gilgal Shvua. When I am Mechayev Shvua A, and then I have to take Shvua B, what was Mechayev, what generated that second Shvua? Says Ravissa Zalman, there are two possibilities. Either you could say it was the original Taina, meaning when the Toveya, the claimer, comes and says, swear to me, so in certain cases of Gilgal, not only does that Taina generate Shvua A, the Chiddush of Gilgal, that also generates Shvua B. Or, says Rabbi Sazaman, maybe you can say it a lot differently. The Toveya only generates Shvua A, but Shvua A generates Shvua B. Once you're taking a Shvua, so then, you know, you're going to take up another Shvua. So he says, that's the chilek between a Tainas Vada and a Tainas Safik. A Tainas Vada, and to answer up a Rambam, a Tainas Vada, he suggests, is so strong that it generates both Shvuas. If I'm a Vada, I claim, so I'm generating Shvua A, and I'm generating Shvua B. Even though Shvua B really shouldn't be Mechuyev a Shvua, because it's on Karka, it's on something else. But here it's strong enough. If you have a Tainas Safik, a Tainas Safik is only Mechayev Shvua A, and it's not Mechayev Shvua B, but it's the Shvua itself that's Mechayev Shvua B. He says, L'may nafkamina, what if the person who's Mechayev Shvua, said, instead of swearing, he pays for the first claim? Does the second Shvua just fall away? So if you say it's a taina suffek with a shvua A generates shvua B, then once you get rid of shvua A, because you're going to pay instead, shvua B falls away. Because shvua A generates shvua B. But if you said it's based on the tviya, it's based on the claim itself, so then even if you get rid of the first shvua, the second shvua still exists. The second shvua still exists. So that's what he says in Divrei Masla Venira in Sheila Vibikadim. So that's an important yesod, that even though the Gemara here has a maskana, asaba suffek avadai, but it's not purely suffek avadai, it's not exactly the same thing. Period. Okay, here we go, continue. How far does the concept of Gilgul Shvua go? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Da Amar Le, Hishavali She'ein Avdiata. Somebody goes over to somebody else and says, swear to me that you're not an Eved. So we're Einer Shvua and Al Havadim. Right? You don't make oaths about being an Eved. So even here, we'll get to the even. What's the even? What's the Chiddush of this case? But even if somebody goes to me, swear to me that you're an Eved, even in that case, we will be Megalgal. The Havamina here is that he's swearing, swear to me that you're not an Eved Kena'ani. Eved Kena'ani. So he says the Gemara, 1 minute. Hahu shemuti mishamtina lei. What kind of case is that? We put somebody in Chayrim for accusing somebody else that he's an Eved. We put somebody in Chayrim for that. Shemuti mishamtina lei. Tanya, the Brisa says, Akori l'chaveru Eved yehi benidui. Somebody calls their friend an Eved, you're an Eved Kena'ani, we excommunicate him. Why the Maharal says, Mita Keneged Mita? Because we learned in last week's parsha, an Eved is mekulal, is cursed. Right? So Mita Keneged Mita. So you're a nidu, you're cursed. You have to sit outside by yourself, and you can't have association with anybody. Mamzer, if somebody calls somebody else a Mamzer, Sofei gets Arbam, he gets Malkus. He gets Malkus. Why does he get Malkus? Again, the Maharal says, because calling somebody a Mamzer means that the 40 days of Yetziras Havlad were in sin. That the person is a Mamzer, there was something wrong with the 40 days of his becoming a baby. So that's why we give him 40 Malkus. Right? Kemida Keneged Mida, says the Maharal, continuing, and Russia, Yorinim Alachayev. Somebody calls somebody else a Russia. So then we go down to his Nechasim, Yorinim Alachayev. We don't care for his property. Rashi says, Yorinim Alachayev is the fifth skinny line. Ain't Bezin is cock and Bezin doesn't listen to his claims. You're allowed to hate him. You can be might, you don't have to go to his store. So you don't have to hire him. So you see, it's a terrible thing to call somebody an Eved. So the Mefarshim say, well, he didn't call him an Eved here. Right, what the Machna here asks, what did he say to him? He said, swear to me that you're not an Eved. What did he care if he was an Eved Kanani? It's just about money that he's owed. He's not declaring him, just calling him a name. So the Machna discusses why this is so bad, why this is in the category of Akori L'Chaveru Eved, if he wasn't really calling him an Eved. So the Gemara answers, Ela Amar Rava, Hishavali Shonim Kartali Eved Ivri. Swear to me that you weren't sold to me as an Eved Ivri. So there already it's okay. Because an Eved Ivri, if you remember, is a full Jew. Eved Ivri is full Kedusha. Full Jew. Okay, you can marry Shifra Kananis. But that's because of the Kinyan Isser, which we'll get to in a second. But really, he's a full Jew, and he's saying, swear to me that you weren't sold to me because you owe me money. So it's basically claiming you owe me $100. You owe me a certain amount of money. That's what he's claiming by swear to me that you're not an Eved Ivri.
The
Eved
Kanani is
Kakarka,
right? So that's why you're not.
So we're gonna get to the Shvua in a second. So the Gemara says, what's wrong with this? What's the concept of Gilgal here? What do you mean? This is he's saying that you owe me $100. That's a real Shvua. You don't need Gilgal for that. So Rava Latime, no. Rava said no. An Eved Ivri is not purely mamonis. Dama Rava and Eved Ivri gufo kanui. And Eved Ivri has the Kinyan Isser, as we said, that's how the Ramban interprets this line. We had it earlier on Daf Tezayin. And Eved Ivri is Guf is Kanui, and therefore, that's the Chiddush. The Gemara says, Yachi Haino Karka. So, that's an Eved is Hukash Lekarkos. So, what's the Chiddush? It says, how do we start off this whole discussion? See how far Gilgul Shvua goes. Ad Heichon Gilgul Shvua. What's so far? What's the Chiddush of Eved Ivri? And Eved Ivri is Hukash Lekarka. Right, so what's the difference? So Mao de Tema Karkahuda Avdi Inshu de Mizavni Bitsina. No, you might have said that land some people sell privately. Right? Some people sell privately. Bitsina. Vim Isa Dazavin less they kala. And it could be that there was no call. There was no call, and therefore you'll be Magagala Shvua, because who knows? Maybe it occurred and you didn't know about it. But Hayim Isa Dazavin Kala Islay. But Avadim, when people are sold as Eved Ivris, everybody knows about it. And therefore, you might have said that there's no Gilgul Shvua by an Eved Ivri, even though an Eved is Hukash Lekarkos in some regard, not always, but some regard, Eved is Hukash Lekarkos. So you might have said, here it's not, Kamash Malan, even here is Gilgul Shvua. That's a big sugi we discussed. If you look back in the beginning of, listen back, to the beginning of Lulav HaGazel, we discussed, when do you say Eved Hukash Lekarkos? Right? The Gemara there talks about Karka in an Exelis. Karka cannot be stolen. right? Because you usually say, because it's always here. What about an Eved? Do we say Avadim in an Exalim? Right? Or we discuss, it's discussed also at the beginning of Perek Merubah, where there's exclusions, a separate exclusion of Kark and Avadim from Kefel. So the Tosef there asks, what do you need two exclusions for? Eved Hukash Lekakos. So sometimes it is Hukash, sometimes it is not Hukash. So again, that's something that has to be discussed. There is another interesting discussion that the Rishonim have on this on the Brisa that was quoted. The Brisa quoted, if you call your friend an Eved, so then you're a Benidu. If you call him a Mamzer, you get Malkus. What kind of Malkus do you get here? Sofik es Harboim. What kind of Malkus do you get by calling your friend a Mamzer? So the Gemara says, the Rashi says, third wide line, Sofik es Harboim. Hayakonsin Makos Mardus. Makos midrabanan. There is a machlokus Rishonim whether Makos Mardus are paralleled after real Daraisa Malkus. For example, how many? There's no Gemara that said that. There seems to be no Gemara that says real Malkus we know is 39 Malkus, 49 minus 1. So is there a Gemara that talks about how many Malkus Mardus? Maybe it's 10. 10 Malkus. So the Rashi here seems to say it's Darais. Even the Rabbanans, right? Because he says Malkus Mardus, like Rashi says Arboim. So it's not Daraisa. It's not Daraisa, but maybe it's not real Malkus Mardus. It's some other din. But Rashi here in the Rashi in the Tshuva says Malkus Mardus are always 40, just like Malkus Daraisa. Rashi in Chulin in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph and the Rambam. At least in certain contexts, say Malkus Mardus has no definite amount. It could be as many as they want, even more. Even more. Rambam says, Asru Chachamim, where does he say this? Hilchos Chamisu Matzah. Asru Chachamim Lechol Matzah Be'erev HaPesach, Kedesh Yehi Heker Bachilas Al-Erev. Is it the Rabbanan to eat Matzah on Erev Pesach? Right, eat Matzah on Erev Pesach. Right, the Yushalmi gives the mashal, right, of somebody who eats Matzah on Erev Pesach, is Kabol Arusasa Be'Beis Chamav. It's like you're living with your Arusa before you jump the gun. Before Nisuin, you jump the gun a couple hours. Just wait. So this is the Rabbanan. Teen Matzah on Erev Pesach. This is the Yerushalmi, the Achronim even say, it's based on the Yerushalmi, that you can only eat Matzah after you have Sheva Brachas. What's Sheva Brachas? And they go through each, how many, you make seven Brachas in the Seder before you eat the Matzah. You have Netilas Yadayim, and you have Amotzi, and you have Achilas Matzah, and you have, Karpas for the Rambam called Karpas as a Bracha, but Karpas as a Bracha, and Kiddush, and Netilas. Go through. There's some machlokes in between them. What are the seven? But either way, Rav Yosef Engel on that Gemara in Psachim quotes the Rokeach and others that take that Yerushalmi's mashal a little further that even eat Sheva Brachos. But the Rambam says you can't eat matzah erev Pesach. U'mishachol matzah erev Pesach, makanos makas mardus ad sheteitse nafsho. Ad sheteitse nafsho. So what's the svar? How could it be worse? So one of the Achronim explained. I forgot who. I didn't get to look it up this time. Makas daraisa is a punishment. Punishment is finite. You punish him, you hope he doesn't do it the next time. By almost all the cases of Makas Mardus, it's trying to be preventative. Trying to be preventative. Right, the guy's sitting there chopping on matzah on Erev Pesach. So he's about to eat another matzah. So you hit him and hit him and hit him until Ashtetzi Nafsha. You know why? Because until he says, I'm not going to do it again. Because it's preventative. So it could even be more. Right? Also here, he called his friend the Mamzer. So maybe he's going to do it again. Not just a punishment, it could be a preventative measure. Again, that's the world of calling somebody a name. We mentioned in the past, the Rabbi Daniel Feldman, my former colleague from Yeshiva, from YU, in his Sefer, the Right and the Good. The Right and the Good? I think it's the Right and the Good, the Red Sefer. So he has all these different halakha discussions of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. He has one article there talking about nicknames. The Rambam says, if you're mechana shem lechaveiro, that's only negative. And the Rambam puts this in Ilchus Tshuva, ein lo chelo v'lom haba. If somebody is rugged to give a nickname for their friend. So the Rambam doesn't even mention a negative nickname. Right? So what do you mean, mechana shem lechaveiro? So why is it that the arose by any other name, derogatory nicknames? That's the level. But the question is, in some sources, it's not even negative nicknames. The Gemara doesn't say negative, just mechana. Mechana, akinoi always means negative. So he quotes some achronim who suggest that maybe it's stam a nickname. Why? Because the name of a person or of an object is the mahus of that thing. Right? In Parshas Bereishis, what does it say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought everything to Adam and Chava, Adam, and Adam named it. Hushemo. Kol HaShayikra Adam, Hushemo. What did that mean? So look at the Netziv. The Netziv says that that's the mahus of the thing. This isn't a table. It's a shulchan. The shulchan captures the essence of the item. So it's the same thing with names, right? There's special siyata d'shmaya. Many sources say when parents name a child, not stam. Oh, I'm going to name it here and this, and it came out. No, the Siyata Deshmaya, this is the Mahus of that person. This name is the Mahus. And therefore, when I call somebody by a nickname, I am stealing that Mahus from them. I'm stealing that nature, that inherent idea. To be deprived of this name, he writes, is to become disenfranchised from the reality of being a unique creation. It is to stand bereft of any evidence of individuality. The resulting alienation is profound. It clearly impacts differently than humiliation in any forms, yet apparently in as devastating a manner. But we don't feel it so much, because sometimes people make their own nicknames. A person's name is his connection to his sense of identity, to his awareness of his own existence as an independent individual. Indeed, right? So that's what the rabbinical sages consider names to be, deeply indicative of one's inner character. Right? We had a story, if you remember, back in Yuma, Daf Pe Gimel, about there was an innkeeper that there was one of the Amot Tanaim went to stay by, and Rameir heard the name of the innkeeper and said, "I'm not staying there." Right? Shma Garim. And then the innkeeper stole all this money from the one who stayed there, and the Rameir says, "I told you so, you should have checked out the name." Batak Bishma. He was Bodik Bishma. That was the language of the Gemara. Okay, that has to do with names, and calling somebody, even the Argamar said a negative name, but it's really any name.
Do we have many halachas that based on the fact that when you sell land, is a call?
Whether there's kala islay by land. So there's a different girsa on the side. So you see on the side, v'sorach iyim, b'cheskas abatim, damar hasam, man damazan ar, b'farhesi yizovan. So already on the side it picks up that sometimes, yeah, by land there is a kol, so you have to work out the gemaras together. Next Mishnah, here we go. Masisen, kol ha'nasa damen ba'acher, anything, kol ha'nasa damen ba'acher, anything that you used to pay for something else. There's going to be three levels in the three stages of the Gemara. Let's go with level stage one. The Gemara assumes here that the first phrase of the Mishnah means money, because you use money to buy something. Kol anasa damim ba'acher, anything that you use to for damim, for money, ba'acher, to buy something else. Kiven shezocha zen is chayiv zeh b'chalifa. Once you give over the money, so automatically the sale is complete. Let's say you're buying a cow. You give over the money, so automatically the cow is yours. So let's explain for a minute. We're not talking here about kinyan kesef. If usually you pay for something, that's called kesef. Here it says chalipin. What's usually chalipin? Usually we use the handkerchief for chalipin. There are two types of chalipin. The Rashi here alludes to them, but that is you don't have to use. There's one chalipin called shava b'shava, meaning let's backtrack for a second. I'm sorry. Chalipin. What we've been calling chalipin is kinyan sudur. That's a symbolic kinyan. You lift up a handkerchief and that's it, and then it's finished. But chalipin literally means substitute. Literally means
barter.
One for one. Barter. Exactly. Barter is a good word. So the Mishnah here is talking about chalipin in the barter sense. There's a machlokas whether in chalipin, barter, you give back the item that you use to barter. That's a machlokas whether you give back the kli that you used. But there are two types of barter. There's barter was called shava b'shava, equal barter. Right, I give you a cow, you give me an ox, and they're basically equal. And there's unequal barter, shava, shava. That also works in halacha. We could barter something, but it's, I give you this, you give me that. So that's what we're talking about here. When you're using money as a barter and not as value for the item. That's what we're talking about here. If you look at Rashi. Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah. V'hashta salka daitach tamat be'a asalash me'inan. Now we think that we're talking about that a coin, the Mishnah's talking about a coin. T'kimet shazach hazen is chayiv zeh b'chalipin. Hecha denasnu b'tores chalipin. Where you give the money as a barter, v'lo b'tores damim. Not for the value of the item, like kesef, like a suit, like a handkerchief. Just like a handkerchief is symbolic, and it's not exactly the value of the item, so to here, that's the havamina here, that we're talking about giving money as a barter. And that's why Rashi in the continuation explains, this has nothing to do with the sugi that we alluded to yesterday, and we're going to allude to on Amid Beis, of ma'os konos, or ma'os einon konos. There's a machlokas b'metzia between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether when you give money for something, before you pull the item that you paid for. So does that kinyan work, daraisa? Mo's konos? Or do you say, no, mo's ain't a konos. Money doesn't work, daraisa. Really, you have to pull it. Right? That's a machlokas. So that has nothing, Rashi says, that has nothing to do with, this has nothing to do with mo's konos, because that's about when you're paying the value. Here we're talking about you're using a matzbeya for chalipin. You're using a matzbeya, a coin, for the symbolic barter. How do you know whether you're using money for the barter or using money for paying? So the Rashi says three ways. Either you say it. You say it, I'm using this money for chalipin, A, or right when you give it, or as you're giving it, you say, I want it back. So if you want it back, obviously not using it to pay for the guy for to pay for the eye. If you're paying $100 for something, then you're not. Oh, but I want the $100 back. That's not a sale. So if you're doing barter, the chalipin is even eno shava b'shava. You're asking for it back. So you know it's symbolic. It's not for value. Or number three, he says. Where's number three? Where you specify, where they both specified specific coins that they want used. It's just about the value. Who cares about the specific coins? If it's specific coins, says the Rashba Hecha Sha'amar, Ma'os Halalu, Bechefet Zeh. Fishneim Ba'en, that's also a reflection that they're going with the, as Chalipin, but they're not going as a, the value. So those are three ways that you know. But either way, that's what we assume the Mishnah means. Again, Kolonatza Deman Ba'acher, anything that you use to buy something else, Kivin Shezach HaZeh Nischayev Zeh B'Chalifa. Once you are Zoch in it, once you give the money, then you're Nischayev Zeh B'Chalifa, then you are owed the other thing, and the other thing belongs to you. Ketzad, what's a case? Heklev Shar B'Paro Chamar B'Shar. Somebody's exchanging an ox for a cow, or a donkey for an ox. Kivin Shezach HaZeh Nischayev Zeh B'Chalifa. Once you give one over, if I give over my donkey to you, I automatically own the cow, even though I wasn't Moshech yet. How could the first line be talking about money and the second line be talking about animals? The Gemara is going to ask that. So the Gemara says, number one, Chalipin Maini, who Matbeah. What does Chalipin mean? What are we talking about in the Reisha, in the first line of the Mishnah? Matbeah, using a coin for Chalipin. Shma mino Matbeah nasa Chalipin. Wait, so is that to tell me that you could use a coin for Chalipin? One minute, that's a major machlokas in Meseches Baba Metzia, and we paskin that you cannot. We paskin that you cannot. Ain matbeah nasa chalipin. If you look in Bamitzia daf mem hamabes, why can you use a matbeah for chalipin? Because the Gemara there says a matbeah is all about the tsura on it, and tsurasa avidi debatzla. What's money? Money has value today, but who knows? Maybe in 6 months from now, the government's going to change the currency, and the money's going to be worthless. So money is not something that's going to stay forever. A book, the king can't say that this book is worth is worthless. Okay, maybe there'll be a reason why it will go up in value, down in value. But money is only, is kind of a subject, has subjective value. Right? Sometimes you'll make the, renew the currency, and the old currency will be no worthless. So that's why the Gemara says, Ein ma'ben atzachli, because there's no real Gemira's das on that. There can't be full Gemira's das, because maybe I'm not going to rely on it, because maybe in a few months from now, it's not going to be worthless. The king's going to pass on the tzura. Right? So that's what the Gemara says, why we pass an Ein ma'ben atzachli, and that you cannot use a matbeah for this. For this type of kenyan. So what doesn't Brazanar Gemara say? The first line seems to say that you can. That's the whole Gemara's chiddush, the Mishnah's chiddush. So number two, different shot of what the Gemara Mishnah means. Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. Kol hanishom damen ba'acher. Anything that must be evaluated when it is used as a barter for something else. Meaning anything other than money. Anything other than money. Kol hanishom. That's what it means. Kol hanas. Kol hanishom damen ba'acher. Kivin shezach azen is chay b'chalipin. So once this guy, once he gets, the Reuven gets it, then he owns, once Reuven gets it, then his item goes over in ownership to Shimon. And again, the chiddush is, as Rashi explained, is that even if it's not shava b'shava, even though the two things aren't worth the same. But if we decided, we want a substitute, you're going to give me, you know, A, and I'm going to get B, which is worth much more, but I really want B. I'm a collector. Right? It automatically goes, once I give you over A, automatically B is mine, even though it's still in your Rishus, and even though I wasn't Moshech yet. De Kanami, 1 second, and there's a Raya that the Mishnah's not talking about money in the first line, because look at the second line of the Mishnah. The second line, Diktani Ketzad, the Mishnah says, how? What's an example? Ketzad Hechlev Shar Baparo Chamar Bashar Shmamina. So you see the second line gives a case of non-money. Say for the first line of the Mishnah, must not be talking about money. Yeah.
So there's no difference what A
costs. Doesn't matter what A costs. Right. Doesn't matter what A costs, right? That's called Eino Shava
B'Shava. Who cares if the money is worthless by the king?
If you're buying something with money and it's a real monetary issue, so then you get into the issues of Ona'a. You're not allowed to rip people off. Uh-huh. But this is barter, where the people know that they're not doing it out in Petora's Ma'os, paying for something, but it's just symbolic. Continuing. 1 second, let's go back to understanding number one for a minute. Going to the thing number one, where we thought the first line of the Mishnah was about money. So my case, how do you read the Mishnah? How do we think? The first line was about money. The second line was about the Kalim. So Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Basically, Chisura Mechsura. You have to add in a line. The first line said that Matbeah could be Chalipin. And then the Mishnah should say, Peros Nami Avdi Chalipin. Fruit also could be Chalipin. What does fruit mean? Rashi here says fruit just means something that's not a kli. Because you might have said just a kli could be used for a symbol, not an animal, not a fruit, Right? So you might have said, but that's the chiddush of the second line of the Mishnah. Also, peiros, meaning a non-kli, could also be used for chalipin. Kesan, and then the Mishnah gives an example. Heflef b'shor, b'sar shor b'para, you give a meat for a para, o b'sar chamar b'shor, kimet shazach hazen is chayev b'chalipin. Period. Says the Gemara, Hani chal Rav Sheshes, Amar Peiros Adi Chalipin. I understand this works according to Rav Sheshes, who says you could use non-kalim for chalipin. Then you understand what the Mishnah might have meant. Ela l'Rav Nachman, Amar Peiros Lo Adi Chalipin. But Rav Nachman holds you could only use kalim. You can only use kalim. You cannot use non-kalim. You can't use animals. So then, Michael Amemar. So how do you read the Mishnah? So how do you read the Mishnah then? It can't be talking about, can't be talking about Kalim, Peiros. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, a third way to read the Mishnah. Yesh Damim Shehen Kachalipin. Sometimes there's a certain way that money could be used for Chalipin, even if you normally hold Matbeya is not used for Chalipin. Kate said, what's the case? Hechlev Demei Shor Bepara, O Demei Chamor Beshor. That's the case. What's that case? Rashi explains. I am selling you a donkey, and you're, right? I'm selling you your donkey. So you give me, I give you the donkey, and you didn't pay me for it yet. You owe me the money. And then the next week, I decide that I want your cow. So I say, you know what? Give me the cow, and keep the money. Keep the money that you owe me. That'll be for the cow. That'll be for the cow. So that's a case of being machlif, the value of one animal for another animal. Really, matbeya usually cannot be used as a substitute. But in that type of case, it can work. My time, why? Why does that? Why would that case work? Why is that case different? So the Gemara says, "Savar like Rabbi Yochanan." It would go like Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar that I alluded to before, "Dvar Torah Mos Konos." Really, midaraisa money always works when you pay for something. Midaraisa Mos is Konos. What's the svar? Why Mos? Where's the makar in the Torah for Mos Konos? That's a machlokas over there, Bamitsia, Rashi, Rashba. Rashi quoted here and there, Vanasana Kesa Vakumlo. We had earlier, Rashi quoted on previous daf and daf chavav, you give the money Vakumlo, and now it belongs to you, Vanasana Kesa Vakumlo, by Meiser. But the Rashba there says it's a svara. It's a svara. You pay for something, it's yours. The Rashba there says, Bamitsia. Misvara ka'amma lafisha rova konin, Nasan Bekesav. You pay for something, the other thing automatically becomes yours even before you pull it. So, midaraisa Moses Konos. So, why did we say, though, midarabanan? We're not going to allow it to work. Midarabanan, the kone has to pull the item. Because what might happen? Herman, I'm going to pay you, I'm going to give you money for something. And then the horse that I just bought is mine, it's in your farm, and then there's going to be a fire in the farm, in the farm. And then the horses, something's going to happen. You're going to say, that's not my horse. You're not going to be worried about it. If I was having the fire, I would run and get it. Right? So the Nizrachi de Baaliyah. So that's why he might say, oh, sorry, your wheat got burned in the attic. So sorry. So Midrabanan, we say most doesn't work because we want the guy to still be responsible for it. Nizrachi de Baaliyah. And so usually we say money doesn't work for that reason, Midrabanan. So Milsa, the Shriya Gaza by Rabanan, by a usual case where you actually give money, that's where there's a Xera against most Konos. Milsa, the Shriya Gaza by Rabanan. This is not a common case. Right, where I bought your donkey and you owe me money, and now I want to buy another item of yours, and I say keep the money instead of it. That's not so common, and therefore, as we know, there are abundant not goes there in cases that are not shchiach. Period. So we just finish question.
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, in a real case of chalipin, not this one.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, in a real case of chalipin, so that might where you're using an actual matbeya. Well, first of all, he might paskin matbeya is not nasa chalipin. We were trying to explain that even if you usually say matbeya is not nasa chalipin, this is a case which would work. So we explained that. But he might hold, I don't know what he holds about the matbeya nasa chalipin sugya. Period. We mentioned in the past, also I think in the beginning of Beitza, that when it says milsa, the rabbanan not goes there on milsa de lo shchicha, does that mean that they wouldn't or that they couldn't? So pashas, it means that they wouldn't. The rabbanan aren't going to be goes there for such unusual cases. But it could also mean that they couldn't. Because Chazal have the power to make laws for Klal Yisrael. For case of Klal Yisrael. If you have cases that are so minute and so unusual, it could be that the Rabbanan don't have authority. They can make they can tell a person what to do. In case, but you can't make rules for the minority. So it could be that they couldn't, not just that they wouldn't. Period. Let's finish up. What about according to Reish Lakish, who says that Mishicha is Daraisa? Not Moos Konos, right? He argues. Meshicha, that Moos are not Konos. Mida Araisa, you need to pull it. So Hanicha Isavala Krev Sheshes. said, fine, I could read the Mishnah if he holds like Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes that says that you could use, right, what was Rav Sheshes? That you could use, right, peros, you could use non-kalim for chalipin. You could say, you were talking about the animals in the Mishnah. Tamar peros ad chalipin, mitaris Rav Sheshes. So then he could go like Rav Sheshes. Ela isavar laka Rav Nachman, but if he holds like Rav Nachman, tamar peros lo ad chalipin. So if Rish Lakish holds like number one, Rav Nachman, that you cannot use non-kalim for barters. Umadveya lokani. And madveya is anasa chalipin. So my mukila, how can you read the Mishnah? You can't do anything. So the Gemara says, Al karchal Rav Sheshes virale. It must be yours like Rav Sheshes. You must hold that non-kalim can be used for chalip.
Is besar shor and besar chamor damim or peros?
Right. Why does it switch to besar? So is that damim or peros? The Gemara gave it as an example of peros.
So then, and assuming that that's the verse of the Mishnah, so then why don't we just say we're talking about...
Well, that's also, in the last question we're saying, maybe he holds like Rav Nachman, the Peirus is lo avdi chalipin. That was the last question. According to Rish Lakish, what if he holds like Rav Nachman, and he doesn't hold, and he holds like maybe it's not Nasa chalipin, so that's why you have to come on to, he holds like Rav Sheshes. Next Mishnah. Last Mishnah about Kinyanim, and then the next Amud we get into Mrs. H's Mangrama. Okay, let's try to squeeze it in here a little bit. Rosh Hashanah Beket, the next daffin, by the way, are the daffin that you need like more than 50 minutes. You need hours for the next daffin. So we really have to mamish start on time. So Rosh Hashanah Beket, we always have to start on time, but especially the next couple of daffin. Rosh Hashanah Beket, Rosh Hashanah Bechazaka, Rosh Hashanah Beket. What does that mean? We'll see in the Gemara. Rishus ahediot b'chazaka. It's only with chazaka, not with kesef. Ami rasa l'gavoa, kimisi rasa l'hediot. Saying something, that you're going to give something to the base of Migdash, is as if you're giving it to the hediot. Meaning it's much easier, when I say I'm going to be makdish something, it automatically, that's it. It goes to the base of Migdash. There is a discussion in Lomdus, whether ami rasa l'gavoa means that that is a maisa kinyan to hektish, or you don't need a Maisa Kinyan to Hektish. If you look in the Sefer Rabbi Adler put out, Sefer Lomdus, right? Let me see this, Sefer Lomdus. So there he has all different, explains different ways of, different understandings of Hakiras and way to think. So there, in Amirus HaKavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikavikav Gemara, or you don't need a Maisa Kinyan. And there's a number of nafkamini. He says, what if you're, when I say I'm going to give you this after 30 days, and something happens to it within 30 days, or can I sell it to somebody else within 30 days? You could be chozer bo. You could retract. You didn't say me'achshav. It's after 30 days. What if you're mocked or something after 30 days? Machlokas rishon, whether you can retract or not. So again, if it's a regular Maisa Kinyan, so then you can retract it. Maybe it's not a Maisa Kinyan. Then it could be that you can't retract. Could you be Makdash or Dover Shalom Bala Olam? Right? Something that's not in the world yet. Right? Could you be, do the problems of Asmachta apply to Hektish? So again, all of these are underlying the idea that if Hektish, if Amiras Gavoa is a Maisa Kinyan, so then it'll be subject to the world of Kinyanim. But if it's not, if it's a magical Amiras Gavoa, so it's something else, you don't need a Maisa Kinyan, so then it wouldn't be subject. What's the source for Amiras Gavoa Hedyot? What's the source? If it's the summary shown him say, the Rashbam says, a pasuk, ish ki achdash is based on Kodesh Lashem. Rashbam ba'basra. Or the Rush says, motza sefasecha tishmar v'yasisa. Right, pasuk in Kiseitse. But the Yerushalmi right here, Yerushalmi and Amishra says, you know what the makar is? Lashem ha'aretzu meloa. Everything belongs to Hashem. And the Meiri says, explains the Yerushalmi, kinyin chatzer. The whole world is Hashem's. So therefore, the second I say, I'm going to give something to Hashem, so the whole world is Hashem, so now it's in Hashem's chatzer. Mm-hmm. So that's, it belongs to him. Ask Rav Yosef Engel, a bomb kasha, 1 minute. If it's all a kinyan chatzer based on Hashem Aretz Umaloa, so then every item that's hefker should automatically become hektish. Right? It's kinyan chatzer. Hashem Aretz Umaloa. The nichsei hager. Everything that's hefker should automatically become to Hashem. So says Rav Yosef Engel, no, unbelievable. No, when do you say, when does Kinyan Chatzer work, Shalom Midaito, right? When does a Kinyan Chatzer work without my knowledge, when it's a total schus for me and I for sure would want it? But Hashem wants, Hashem, what's the second half of the pasuk? V'aretz nasan l'vnei Adam. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give it to people. So it only works when somebody gives it to Hashem. So that's why, right, this Kinyan Chatzer, Hashem Aretz Amol, only works when somebody's mocked the shit. But if it's just Hefker, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chatzer is not going to kick in. Is there really a need for an Amira? What if you just think it? I think I'm going to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Machlokas Rishonim also. Whether Machshava works. You put that together with this Machlokas Rishonim. The Machlokas Rishonim, does this only apply to Hektish? Does it also apply to Tzedakah? That's a big sugya halacha l'maisa. If I say I'm going to give staka, it already belongs to them. Does it already belong to the aniyim? What if I think I'm going to give staka? I put together these two shitas. If you say I'm rosa gavoa, it's lav dafka amir, but it's also machshava. And you say it also applies to staka. So it applies. What if I think to myself I'm going to give a certain amount of staka? Can I change my mind? Do I have to give it? Right? Do I have to keep second guessing myself? That's a big issue. Right? Generally, we should try to take it seriously. When I think I'm going to give something to staka, and I should try to do it. I should try to do whatever it is, the amount of money. You know, sometimes you reach into your pocket. Happens to me sometimes. And I want to give staka, and then I say, I only have a 20. That's why I don't give it. So you don't give it. There's no change in the staka box. It's got to remember. Especially if you like, put it in your hand, you took it out. So that's already, that's more than Amira. You started to give it already. So then all of a sudden you decide, oh, there's no change. You can't give it. Got to remember later in the day or whenever it is to fulfill that. But anyway, this is the sugya of Imrasa Gavar, Joshua Lahedyon. We'll continue. As of tomorrow, we get into Zman Gramas, we get into Brismila, Pidyon Aben, Talmud Torah. Again, we really need a few hours for the next couple of Dathim. So that's at least, you know what? Let's make it 5 to 7. Let's start 5 minutes earlier. We can push ourselves 5 to 7.
Five a.m.
5 to 7. And again, Bischus, as I started off the share today, Bischus, today's Ramir Shapiro's yard site, the founder of the DAF. So his Bischus in. We start the third of the first parak of Maseches Kiddushin, where we get into all the sugyas of Kuravu and Talmud Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah and a lot of fun in Yonim. Okay, let's stop here.